You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Hallelujah. Just before you're seated, the word says to give honor to whom honor's due. And I just want to say, Pastor Prophet Joshua, Pastora Profeta, I love you guys so much, and I honor you, and I thank God. This is a privilege. It is a privilege for someone to give you their pulpit and to loan you their people to speak. I never take that for granted. It's a very holy and a very precious thing. And I honor you as the pastors of this house and this work. And one day I'll be able to say, I knew them when, you know, because something has been birthed this weekend. And I tell you, Hope United, you will never be the same. Now, that's not just religious rhetoric. Thank you, honey. I'm crying. It's not religious rhetoric. That's the word of the Lord. Nothing. Amen. I love you. Be seated for a little while. Some of you, I never say this, but I think some of you need to just stay for the second service if we have room. If we don't, you can go. You can just sit on the steps, I guess. And I want to bring a word. I want to share with you. I have a lot of really wonderful messages, things that God's been speaking, but he keeps bringing me back to this same thought, to this same purpose where he's got the church and the body of Christ right now. And what I really sense from the Lord is I want to share this. And if you've heard me share it before, just forgive me. Frank drives us. Frank, you're a blessing, and I love you so much. And my sons are off doing something, so God gave me an adopted son. So I love him. And my daughters, Abigail, Elisha, they're all named after prophets, Elisha. And we have Hadassah Rose, who's named after Jerusha Dasa, which is Esther, Queen Esther's Hebrew name. And then we have Lydia Danielle. There you go, I tell you, who is shy. And so that's just a little bit of the family. And then, of course, my daughter, Jerusha, our daughter, our sister, Jerusha Rose. And I just thank God for my children. I'll tell you, you talk about, you know, we talked yesterday about holding fast to the promise of God when it doesn't look like it's ever going to come to pass. Yeah. You know? And I'd always wanted, we had Jerusha, and from the time she was 2 years old, I wanted more children. It was always the desire in my heart to have this huge, like, Brady Bunch family, you know? And I just wanted a lot of kids. I love being a mother. I think mother is the best title on the planet. I love being a mother. You know, I don't care if it's prophet or I have a doctorate. This is honorary, but anyway. it's kind of a lifetime award before you die that gives it to you. But I all those titles are great. I've been pastor, I've been evangelist, but the best title of all is mommy. And some of the kids call me mom, Lydia calls me ma, you know. And I love it. I think that's the greatest gift, the greatest privilege and honor that God could ever give me. And for 16 years, every day without missing a day, I cried out and said, God, I want more children. I want more children. And and God would never speak to me. I never got a word. At her third birthday, Jerusha's third birthday party, it was actually Bobby Connor that spoke to her and said, you will be like a Miriam and take care of each baby that comes in the house. It didn't mean anything to us at the time. You know, sometimes you get a word and you think you know what it means. And you don't realize later on, oh, wow, right, God, I get it now. And 16 years, I took enough fertility medicine to have a litter. I'm telling you. And it just didn't, I had everybody pray. One of my dear friends, Suzanne Hinn, she's married to some guy, Benny, I don't know who he is. But she said, I'm not praying for you anymore, Kathy, because every time I do, I get pregnant, you know? And she kept having babies. And I kept going, but God, have you ever felt like, what about me? The blessing's here. That church is growing. These people got a new car. I'm tithing and believing God and, you know, and all these. Have you ever looked at like the perfect family and just thought, oh, God, they're so perfect, you know? And you have no idea what happens when the door closes there, you know? And I would just say, God, what about me? What about me? And I said, finally, I got to the place. I said, God, if this is not you, take the desire. This is important. Take the desire from my heart. So it won't torment me anymore.
Right.
And sometimes the promise unfulfilled can torment you.
Yeah. Right.
And that's why the prophetic word is so vitally important, church, that we hold fast when it looks like every single thing is going the opposite way. And so, no one believed, no one, even my best friends were like, you know, maybe God meant your spiritual children, you know? And I said, no, my arms long to hold a baby. In fact, I told the kids if they didn't get married and start giving me grandchildren, I told Jerusha's mama to start adopting again. And it was like dead silence in the car. And I think Jerusha was heading for the thing to wreck the car in the middle of the highway to end it all, you know? And I just said, I just love babies. And we'd go down I-4 in Orlando, and I saw this baby. Every time we passed it, I'd say, one day, I'm going in there, and I'm going to buy a canopy crib, and I'm going to buy matching bedding, and I'm going to get, you know, I would just say it. And everybody else, it seemed ridiculous. And that's why we tell you, don't share your dreams with half-brothers, because they will not rejoice in your dream. They will diss all over your prophecy.
Wow.
Don't play it. Be like Mary. She hid those secrets in her heart so no one could come and go, yeah, right, okay, you're delusional, you know? And I just believe God. Nobody believe. I just believe God until one day in a meeting, an inconsequential meeting, I was in St. Petersburg, Florida. I had a monthly school there, a school of the spirit. And a lady walked up to me and she said, I heard you want to adopt a baby. And I said, no, I've never said that. She says, well, somebody told me you did. And I said, well, I've heard that you can't. It's too expensive and we're too old and, you know, all the reasons people give you. And I'm talking to somebody in here that God's been speaking to you about adopting children. And so she gave me an application. I filled it out and signed their father's name. I didn't tell him because I thought, you know, it won't come to anything. Until like 3 days later, he goes, I just got a phone call from an adoption agency, you know. And that was in February. And in April, Hannah, she's not here now, but many of you have met her. Hannah came into our arms. Hannah is African-American. She was thrown into the dumpster behind the hospital in Daytona because the mother could not take care of her, teenage mother, and hid the pregnancy from her parents. And they called and said, do you know anybody that would like to have a baby? And I'm like, me? I want a free baby, you know, like they're giving them out. I ran to Walmart so fast and buy headbands and stuff, you know, and I couldn't, we were so excited. And her dad said, he was crying. He says, well, I'll just swing by and I'll pick her up. I said, well, it's not like a gallon of milk. You just don't swing by and get a baby, you know. And at 2 days old, Hannah came into our arms. And they said, I was believing for a white boy and God gave me a black girl. I said, that's close enough. I don't really care. A baby is a baby. And I talked to her. She called me twice yesterday when we got home. What an amazing girl she is. She's going to be a great, I think, I saw her even as an infant ministering in Africa and calling thousands to the Lord. I just see it. Now, she is tattooed up the wazoo, but you know what? I don't get it, but You know, I said, baby, you know, God doesn't, it's okay. You serve Jesus, you know. So don't trip up on little stuff, all right?
Right.
And then that was in April. And then July, they called with another baby. And we went to Burger King parking lot and picked up Gabriel Levi in Central Florida. And when God does something, he does it really well. And then in August, they called and said, the parents, I should have played the tape forward a little bit, you know, and realized one day they were going to grow up and want to eat. And so they said the parents were going to adopt him. He's got he's born with a birth defect in his body. His skin won't cover his stomach, and we have to do surgery. And so they did surgery. They did surgery on him, and that was our Samuel Josiah, who is now a youth pastor in Pittsburgh. I'm telling you. And then a year later was Abigail. And then a year later was Lydia. And then a year later was Hadassah. I'm telling you, God does exceeding abundantly above. Hold fast to your promise. And for those that are, we just have a few minutes, but those of you that need a scripture, you won't feel like you went to church, all right? They didn't read the word. I just want to read this to you. If you have your iPod or your iPod or whatever you have, open it. And and Tuesday night, starring prophet Deborah Swilly. She and I are going to do Coffee with Kathy live. Yeah, on Face something and Insta something. All right. I'm not in charge of that stuff. All right. 2 Kings 7, we're going to talk about this weekend. Is that okay, Pastor Karim? We're going to talk about what God did. I thought this was incredible. I just went like, I went home like here. All right. 2 Kings 7, 1 says, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Now listen, there's a famine in the land. There was no cattle in the stall. There was no fruit on the vine. There was nothing to eat. And, it was bad. The Syrians, see? Syria goes way back. This is not a new problem today. They had just, plundered the land and taken everything. And the people were in the middle of a famine, and what they had was stolen. Anybody ever felt that way? Like, oh, man. All right. Hear the word of the Lord. God always sends a prophet when there is a situation that you need to hear from God.
Right.
Every time in the word, it says, you know, the people cried out to God and then Moses. The people cried out to God and then Deborah. The people cried out to God and then Elijah. God had a prophet. And here we see this prophet. He comes in. Oh, God, they cried out to God and then Samuel. And it says, hear the word of the Lord. And he begins to prophesy. Now, many of you, how many of you got prophetic words from the team or from somebody yesterday? Four people. Okay. I know there were, amen. You gave a word, you received a word. You hold fast to that word. Because God is giving you a word, either a warning or he's giving you an encouragement, a promise. He said, tomorrow, about this time. This is the theme that the Lord's been speaking to me, Pastor Joshua. God's been speaking to me. We know about acceleration. But what used to take years to come to pass, the Lord told me, I'm going to do it in months now. What used to take months, I'll do it in weeks. And in weeks, days. And in days, I'll do it. And here there's a famine, an impossible situation. And the prophet comes and says, God says, tomorrow about this time. What did he say?
Tomorrow about this time.
Y'all didn't get your Starbucks yet this morning. Tomorrow about this time. How fast does God move? And he does it in ways, you've heard me say it a million times. God has a million ways of doing things you've never thought about.
Yes. Right.
You can lay awake all night long try to figure out how to pay your rent, and God will do it in some other way. I've always just said God loves the drama. Now, Big Brother, he doesn't like drama. He's always helping me, giving me little pow-pows about the drama. But, you know, I'm gonna tell you. But, you know, I think God loves drama. He brought him to the Red Sea, right?
Right.
And he's going, yeah, I love this. Just watch what I'm going to do. Because he waits till like the last minute.
Right.
He gets all the glory and all the credit, all the honor. Because without faith, we can't please him. And we have to exercise faith. And so the prophet says, tomorrow about this time, how fast can God move? When is your promise going to come to pass? Tomorrow about this time.
Yeah.
Somebody going, tomorrow. This was impossible. This was a whole nation. Tomorrow about this time, he says, a seah of fine flour will be sold for a shekel. 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, the reason I love that is because he's saying, you know, the loaf of bread that you can't even get now to survive, it's going to go for like 3 cents. He's prophesying this. He heard the word of the Lord. And then he says this. And I want to show you this. This is the other type of man. There are two types of men here. There's the prophet who's speaking the word, the king who's just waiting to hear, actually 3 men, and then the officer who is in charge of the care and taking care. I don't know if he's a cupbearer or, you know, he's just an officer that's served by the king. And an officer, the verse says, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God. He answered the man. I don't think the man of God wanted an answer. He answered. What he was doing was challenging the word. That's why I said, don't share your prophecies with half-brothers. Because not everybody has the faith you have. They don't know what you've been through. And he said, on whose hand he was leaning, and said, look, really, seriously, you know, if God were to put a window in heaven and open the window and the barley fall out on us, really? He said, this thing could not never be. Can't be. Impossible. God loves to give us promises that in the natural are impossible.
Right.
Have you ever looked at something and said, oh, that's impossible? There's someone here believing God to buy a house. And you've looked at it and said, well, that would be impossible. I don't have a down payment. My credit's all messed up. No one would loan me any money. You need a car. And it's not just about things, but I'm just using these as an example. And you look at it and say, oh, that would be impossible. God loves the impossible.
Yes.
The possible is where we live.
Right.
The impossible is where he lives.
Yes.
We don't need him if it's possible. But when it's impossible, he says, he's the God of the impossible. All right, y'all are getting so excited. I feel like you're going to break out and run and shout in tongues. And he said, and the prophet looked at him and he said, you know what? You'll see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it or partake of it. Doubt and unbelief. And I know initially, I've heard it said that initially when fear comes, that first impulse to fear, but then we move beyond that to God. I tell you, I'm struggling with belief. Help thou my unbelief. Some of you have really big dreams, but some are afraid to dream, afraid to step out because you don't want to be disappointed. It's easier just to stay where you're at than to hope against hope. And this is Hope United.
Right.
All of our hope together.
Right.
Some of you women look around and go, I need a man. I always say, what'd you do with the last one? You know, where'd he go? All right. Now, bam, God's judgment. Immediately, what happens? Very quickly, I'm going to tell you the story. Most of you, if you went to children's church, and they don't have flannel graph people anymore. I love flannel graph. You remember flannel? You're too young. You cut the little characters out, and they'd stick like felt. Thank you, Pastor Corinne. She remembers. All right. I'd go after church and I'd march all my little felt people across there. I even got one for the kids and they're like, can we just watch VeggieTale videos, you know? But this is, and I remember this story. So what's God's answer? He's getting ready to bring a miracle and he's looking for someone he can move through to bring the miracle. Are you one that God will move through to bring the miracle? Let me just say this. I'll throw this in here. This generation that we have, now I'm not saying all, but there's so much, you know, it's all about me. Yes, it's all about me, you know. And I see my nails, they're so cute. It's all about me. This is not about me. This, the most joyous you can be is when you go, God, it's about God's infinite purpose. Original purpose is he loves people. And if people make you crazy, you need to, I don't know what you need to do. If you're in the ministry, get out, you know, because it's about people and people are crazy sometimes. And people cry and they, you know, and they're mean, they can betray you and they can do all these things, but God loves people. And so here are these four lepers and God says, I need to use somebody. And he finds like the worst people he can find because he knows they're desperate. God's looking for a desperate heart today. He's looking for someone who's so desperate they'll do anything for him. And here are these four lepers. You have to understand, you know, and I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling, and this is not an imitation of the Walking Dead. I don't like those shows. But these lepers, they were losing their, you know, their arms are falling off, their legs are falling off. I don't even know. But it was a death sentence. And because it was contagious, they evicted them outside of the city.
Right.
They didn't want them around. And they sat there. And if anybody was going to get food, they were never going to get anything.
Right.
And one of them sitting there going, you know what? Why sit we here till we die?
Right.
I love that. I love that. Reason is the guillotine of faith. Reason is the guillotine of faith. It will cut the head off of your faith when you begin to reason it through. And the leper said, you know, if we go in, we ask them, the Syrian army, if we can go in there and ask them, can we have some food? Maybe they'll have mercy and give us something. But if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. We got nothing to lose. So they get up and they're like dragging their, I don't know what lepers look like, but they're dragging themselves in, arms falling off, you know, and they're coming in and they get into the camp. And this is important. Okay. I'll be like probably 2 minutes over my time, but this is important. All they did was get up and move. Beloved, half the battle sometimes is getting up and doing something. Does the devil want you to lay on the sofa and eat some more Oreos? And I just licked the middle out of them and just lay there and go, oh, woe is me. Sometimes the battle is just getting up.
Yes.
It's not, you don't have to have a theology degree to do that. God, I'm just going to get up and do something. Instead of buying your lottery ticket, put that dollar in the offering.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm hoping somebody wins and tithes to me. But anyway, they come in there and God, he's looking. He's finding desperate men. And he lowers this microphone from heaven. Now, this is, you have to understand, it's the drama. He lowers the microphone down to their feet. They're dragging in, but God runs it through like this great Bose system in heaven, you know, and this speaker and the invading army. They don't hear four lepers shuffling along. What do they hear? It's the sound of the armies. They've hired the armies. They're going to kill us. They drop. They don't even get on their donkeys or their horses or their camels or whatever they rode in on. They drop it all and they run. And they leave everything. So the four lepers are kind of coming in here going, wow, you know. And I don't know if anybody's ever been on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney. You remember the end of that ride when the pirates are sitting there and they're holding the goblet and they're all got gold necklaces and what do they sing? A pirate's life for me. I can see these four lepers. Can't you see them there? Burp, bam, no one, we don't know what happened, you know. I'm missing my arm. Can you feed me a chicken leg? I don't know. But they are having, they're eating, and one of them gets a conscience and says, you know, we need to go tell, there's a lot of starving people. We can't eat all this anyway. They don't have no idea what happened. And they get up and they go tell the king. And the word gets through and the people start running. And who is standing in the gate watching it all? The doubter. The unbeliever. The one who said, it could never happen. God gives you six children in 4 years. Give me a break.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Right.
Standing there, and what happens? The people stampede, and they run him over, and he dies. So he, just like the prophet said, he sees it, but he will not have part of it. He won't eat of it because he just could not believe. It was just too impossible. And what I want to share with you is this. I want to leave you with this word to encourage you and bless you. God knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows everything. It's important to him. You are important to him. And the devil will tell you constantly. I don't know if he attacks you. He attacks me like this sometimes. Man, you really blew it. You know, look at, you got dishes. You left with dishes in the sink. You know, I mean, your dog's mad at you. I don't know what he tells you. But he gets you to judge yourself.
Right.
And then he begins to just attack you for your faith. And then he begins to lie about the heart of God towards you. Why would God do it for you when you can't?
Right.
I can't figure that out. I don't know why God does it, except that he loves me.
Yeah.
He knew me and he loves me. And I don't want you to leave here today without knowing and realizing and holding fast to why sit we here till we die. I'm not sitting here and just going to stumble along and wait for something to happen. I'm going to be active.
Right.
And I'll share this very quickly. When I was growing up, people that were my age, and I consider myself pretty young.
You
want to eat today? I'm going to buy them cat food. All right. I'm in my head. You know, someone said, are you going to retire later? Well, not only am I not going to retire, I can't retire. Who retires? You know, the zeal of God has consumed me.
Amen.
Every time I see a plane, I don't know if you feel this way, Prophet Deborah. You see a plane in the sky, you go, I wonder where they're going.
Yes.
And I can't wait to get home. But then every time I see a plane, I go, I wonder where they're going. And I get excited for what God's doing. God is speeding things up. He's accelerating things. He's bringing his plan and his purpose. And he's looking for four lepers that will say, you know, life wasn't exactly wonderful for me, but you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to press in for my promise. God's going to honor his word to me. People, when they got older in the church, remember what happened to them? They wore ugly shoes and put their hair up in buns. And they were the Shundalar ladies, you know, in the church. God bless the Shundalar ladies, you know. Love the Shundalar ladies. But I don't want to just be a Shundalar lady. You've got purpose and you've got the word of the Lord.
Yes.
The reason for this whole weekend was to show you that you hear from God. And what you have to say will make a difference in someone's life, even to save them. And I know I'm out of time, but let me just share this. I want to share this very quickly with you. I just need a gentleman. He is a wonderful. Just help me down here. Thank you, sweetheart. I'm tired of waiting for Mel Gibson. I'm just, you know, I'm just giving up on that dream. It's not going to fall from heaven anytime soon. But some years ago, I was at a 700 Club. And one of the books, I don't remember which book was being published, but, you know, my publishing company would arrange all these, you know, you go in, you talk about your book and you sell your book and so forth. And so I went up there to the 700 Club. It wasn't the first time I was there. It was like I would go every time a new book was released. And I was, you know, those were the days I just went alone because no one would pay for another ticket. And so I was sitting, I was in there, and the door opens, and here comes Dr. Pat Robertson. Okay, if you don't know who he is, it's one of the finest, incredible heart, man of God. And he came up, and I was, you know, I've seen him before, but he never would interview me. It was always the woman, Terry Musin, would interview me. And he came in there, Pastor Joshua, and he just looked at me, and I said, you know, I'm like, thank you for that. I was just so struck by the anointing on him. When he came in that room, he filled the room. Kind of like you do, big brother. When you come in, you fill the room. And that presence, that anointing that's on, doesn't he? And so he, when he came in there, and I'm saying, he took my hands and he held me. He said, will you just pray for me? Wow. And I thought, I'm going to pray for Pat Robertson, you know. It was in the what they call the green room. It wasn't green, by the way. And so we prayed, and the Lord began to speak to me and said, he said, tell the man of God, call his son in, I'm not going to tell you where he was, but he was overseas in missions. Tell him to get his passports, get his family, don't pack anything, get in a cab, go to the airport, get him tickets, and have him fly out before sundown tonight. Fly out. And wow. Pat Robertson's just looking, and I said, and the Lord said to tell you that this is the word of the Lord. Your wife is being healed right now of, what's that, alopecia, when they lose their alopecia. I didn't know. I had any idea. I looked up. The tears are just flowing. 2 years later, or a year later, I was back, and his son was in the room there. And he said, I want to take you to lunch. He said, I have to thank you for some things. And he said, my wife and I and our three children, we were serving overseas. And dad called and said, the prophet of the Lord said, get on the plane and get out of the country before sundown. We argued. We didn't want to go. We thought it was ridiculous. He said, but we did it. He bought our tickets and we got on the plane. And as we were flying out, when we got home, we heard that Al-Qaeda, who in their infancy was growing there, had crawled over the wall of the complex where the missionaries were and killed whoever was there, but they wanted us. And we escaped with our lives. And I want to thank you. And I just thought, God, we just don't know. We never know. And what we said yesterday was sometimes you give a word and you don't know what you're talking about and it seems ridiculous, but it's not for you. It's for the person that you're prophesying to. Right. And when you obey God, lives are saved. Destiny is changed. And today God wants to change your destiny. He wants to bring it into focus. He wants you to rise up and not just get one sword. I love that King Arthur movie with Richard Gere. Y'all are Christians, probably don't watch movies. But he not only got one sword, he got two. And he was just fighting with both swords. God wants you to pick your sword back up. Get your fight back. Get your fight back, men and women of God. Don't leave here. Oh, it's just, I didn't get a word. You got a word. Why sit you here till you die? God, what's the next step? I want to do something. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.